good morning and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm hanging on to Christmas as long as I can, I'm so excited to be with you this morning. If you are a guest with us today, maybe you're in town visiting family, my name is Connor Bales. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor here at the North Campus, and on behalf of our entire staff family, I want to welcome you. We're so excited to have you in worship with us today. And for our church family, those of you who are regular attenders or members here at Prestonwood, I want to take just a moment and thank you for your generosity this year. This has been an unbelievable year in our church giving, and I want to continue to encourage you in your faithfulness and thank you for all of the ways in which you have been generous toward God and faithful in your giving to His church. We take seriously the stewardship that you entrust to us here at Prestonwood. And so as we head into the end of the year, there are a number of ways that you can give. You can give digitally, either through one of the kiosks or online or in our app. You can always give personally here. We have giving boxes at the exits as we leave the worship center every single week. And so we want you to know that we take seriously the resources that you entrust to us. And I want to encourage you to continue in your faithful generosity as you have done so far this year. God is doing exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask here at Prestonwood, and you all are a large part of that. And so continue to sow into that which God is multiplying, and the gospel witness through the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ here at Prestonwood, God is using you to continue to do such a good work. Now, I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter 6. This is that strange week between Christmas and New Year's. And so for many of us, it is a time of year when we look back over the last 12 months and take some inventory of all that we have gotten to see God do, and just some of the difficulties that we've had to endure, and where we have noticed the faithfulness of God throughout. But it's also a time when we look forward, we begin to dream and to think about what might God want to do in the year that is ahead. Yesterday, as we celebrated Christmas lunch as a family, we stopped for a moment while we were having some table talk, and we talked about what is something great that God did for you in the last year of your life, and then what is something God is teaching you right now. And so it was a great conversation for the Bales family around the dinner table, and this is kind of the time of year when we do that. Well, here is a burden that God has placed on me for us. I want us in 2022 to be a church marked by the practice of prayer. I want us to emphasize this spiritual discipline of prayer, because I believe prayer evidences and expresses the love that we have for God. Here's what I mean. If you want to know what a person loves, listen to what that person talks about and how they talk about it. So I love my wife, Mary. I'm crazy about her. And so if you hang out with me for very long, you're going to know that I talk about her a lot and I speak very positively about my girl. I love my five kids. And if we hang out, you're going to hear me talk about them, and I'm going to brag on all five of my babies. I love this church. I love what God is doing at Prestonwood Baptist Church. And so for all my buddies in ministry and my friends, when we talk shop, I love to boast about the goodness of God in the faithfulness of His people right here. If you want to know what someone loves, listen to how that someone talks about it and how often they do so. And for Christ followers, if you want to know what we love, find out about what we talk to God about. In other words, if you want to know what a Christian really loves, why don't you listen to how a Christian really prays? Because we talk about the things that we love. And this is a good thing because God designed us to have a fellowship with Himself. And I believe that prayer is the primary vehicle by which God intends for us to commune with Him. So we understand that God in Christ Jesus, this is what we celebrated at Christmas, God has come, Emmanuel, so that we might have right relationship with Him. And I think prayer is the means by which God intends for us as His people to enjoy this conversational, communal relationship that Jesus Christ has afforded us to have. In fact, it's because of this desire for that relationship that Jesus Himself valued the idea of prayer so greatly. What is the name that the disciples called Jesus most often? Rabbi. And when they called Jesus Rabbi, they were referencing Christ as a teacher. And one of the subjects that Jesus taught most often, and I love this, is that He taught the subject of prayer. And He did so in word, but He also did so in action. In other words, Jesus was the teacher of prayer in His speech, but He was the leader of prayer in His actions. I would tell you Jesus was the greatest player coach in all of history. You know what I'm talking about? Like some teams will have a setup where a player on their team also is elevated to the role of coach or assistant coach on that team. So they can not only do the work on the court or on the field of a player in competition, but then they can design the work of the coach who is helping to forecast the game plan that the team is executed and responsible for playing that day. Jesus is a player coach. Jesus is the one who modeled in His action and then taught in His word the significance and value of the subject of prayer. And so, fam, if it was important enough for Jesus to do, why is it something that you and I so often relegate to something we have to do? Jesus, the Gospels tell us that Jesus is recorded as having individual time of prayer with God 13 separate times. He speaks on the subject of prayer 8 additional times on top of that. He evidenced and expressed a value for prayer because of a love for God in His word and in His action. And this morning, I want us to concentrate our time as we head into the end of this year and as we start to dream and think about what God might want to do in the next year with an emphasis on the practice of prayer. So Matthew chapter 6, that's a long introduction. It will be a short sermon. You know it won't. Here we go. Sermon on the Mount. All right, Matthew chapter 6, let's start reading together in verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6, let's start reading together in verse number 5. If you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. And when you pray, now if you mark or highlight in your Bibles, you're going to see three times, verse 5, 6, and 7, this short phrase, when you pray. I want you to underline that for me. Mark or highlight that little phrase, when you pray. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. Watch this. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, we are only really going to concentrate on two verses today in the Lord's Prayer, just verse 9 and 10. But in order for us to get to 9 and 10, I kind of want to set something up that is significant in verses 5 through 8. I want to draw your attention to this reality that I had you underline in each of those three verses. Jesus never speaks about the idea of prayer as something a believer might do. Jesus brings to the table this presupposition that if you are in Christ, if you are in right relationship with God, then the matter of prayer will be one that is already decided. It will be something that you do, not something that you might choose to do. You with me? Jesus says, when you pray. He never says, Connor, if you feel like it, when you pray. Connor, if you're up for it, when you pray. Connor, if you have the energy and the effort, then when you pray. He says, when you pray, and there's no requirement for that. There is this expectation that if God has given us this communal relationship, this blessing of fellowship, then we're going to be a people who exercise it in prayer. And I'm bringing this to your attention, even though this is really isn't what we're going to concentrate on, for two reasons. One, I want to confess to you, I'm under some personal conviction over this. I think that God has brought to my attention that prayer is often a box that I check, or something I treat as the means to an end. It becomes for me something that is rote and obligatory instead of the privilege that God intends for me to fellowship with Him. And so I want to bring that to your attention. I want to tell you that this is something that God has brought to my attention, that I need to be a man who emphasizes and values the privilege of prayer. And so would you agree with this statement that we make time for what we value? Would anybody agree? So like exercise or date nights with your spouse, or these are things that if they're of value to you, then you make time for them, right? And too often, I don't make adequate time for prayer. It is a tag onto the end of something I'm doing, or a brief introduction into something else that I'm doing, instead of the privilege that I think God intends for it to be, right? So I bring that to your attention first because I'm under some conviction over it. And second, because I don't think that I'm alone. I don't think that I'm alone. In fact, my pastoral ministry has taught me that many of us are struggling either with a stale discipline of prayer or without the discipline of prayer altogether. But Jesus says, when you pray. In other words, it is a foregone conclusion for Christ that if you are in right relationship with God, the privilege of prayer will be a practice in your life and in mine. And so some of you are thinking, well, I just don't know how to pray. I don't know what it looks like to pray. And I want to encourage you, maybe in the margin of your Bible or on the side of your notes, let's deploy the marketing of Nike. Ready? As it relates to the subject of prayer, just do it. Just do it. I tell couples that are not in the habit of praying that if you're embarrassed to pray out loud with your spouse, then simply hold hands, pray in your heart, think about your prayer to God in your mind, and then break the huddle with an amen in just a few minutes. Do that. Just start somewhere. Parents, if you're not exactly sure how to pray over your children, then why don't you just take your Bible into their bedroom and open it up to the scriptures and pray God's word back to God? Like, then you don't have to think of any creative phrases on your own. But listen, when it comes to the subject of prayer, just get started somewhere. Just practice some way. Begin the privilege of prayer and just do it. And here's the reality. Prayer is this amazing privilege because Jesus, who teaches and who practices, remember, he was the rabbi in his word and he's the rabbi in his deed. He is also the conduit that has purchased for us by his very death on the cross the ability to be able to talk to God in the first place. Right? So, in the Old Testament, there was this big, heavy curtain that existed in the temple. The temple would have been the church of the Jewish people in that day. And in that temple, there was this really sacred space where the priest would go in and he would fellowship with God. He would bring sacrifice before God so that the sins of the people could be atoned for and they could then be in a right relationship to worship and enjoy God as he designed. But there was this heavy curtain that existed. It was a physical barrier intended to represent a greater spiritual barrier that separated God in his holiness from us in our sinfulness. And did you know that when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the Bible says that the curtain that separated God from man was torn, and it was torn from the top to the bottom, meaning God came down from heaven and tore that which separated us from him so that we could be in right relationship. And the privilege, the byproduct, the consequence of that great gracious work is that we can enjoy God in prayer. And Jesus is the conduit that makes that possible. Pastor Tim Keller says this: we know that God will answer us when we call, because one terrible day, he did not answer Jesus when he called. Jesus' prayers were given that rejection that we sinners merit so that our prayers could have the reception that he merits. So believers will pray because Jesus died so that we could. That's what Jesus is saying. Therefore, when you pray, and this is the meat of the message, look at verses 9 and 10. Then pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, for the sake of time, I mentioned this a moment ago, we're only going to cover these two verses. I recognize that the Lord's Prayer has more that is a part of it. So you don't have to email me and tell me that. I actually know that. So, but for the sake of time, we're just going to cover these two verses today, okay? Because I think they are important, and I think it's the reason why Jesus began prayer in this way. So he is telling the disciples that you're going to pray, and then he's showing the disciples how that should happen. And Jesus seems to introduce this idea of prayer quite significantly with this introduction of God to whom we're praying. First thing he says is he refers to God as Father. He refers to God as Father. This is significant because we get a good glimpse into the personal nature of our relationship with God. Remember, not only is Jesus addressing his Father in heaven, but he is teaching us how to do so as well. So Jesus says, when you pray, then you talk to God in heaven, and you do so by addressing him as your Father. He's a good Father. He gives us access to himself. Like, my kids will climb up in my lap. They ask me whatever they want, whenever they want. And God is inviting us, figuratively, into his lap, to have that kind of a personal relationship. And we're going to see in a moment, this doesn't in any way diminish the reverence and significance and omniscience of God. Because Jesus is going to cover that when he says, here's how your name should be revered. But he says, you pray, and you pray to the Father who is in heaven. Last night we got to hang out with some friends, and they had grandchildren at the house, and these little kids were so much fun, and they were climbing in grandparents' laps and in parents' laps, and when it came to time to go to bed, these little boys had no trouble climbing up in their daddy's arms so that he could take them upstairs and put them to bed. And there was no hesitation. There was no waiting. There was no worry about wiping snot or drool on his shoulder as he marched them upstairs and put them to bed. This last week, one of the things that I have loved the most is just getting some lap time with my kids at home. You know? Like yesterday, my Campbell, she came into my office as I was finishing up this message, and she brought me a fairy princess potion for good luck. It was a Christmas present she got. I'm so grateful. I feel like it's anointed as a result of that. But she came and brought me some fairy princess potion for good luck, and so she showed it to me, and it was awesome how she made the fairy princess potion, and then she headed off back upstairs to play some more. I had to call her back down the stairs, and I was like, hey, you better get down here and give your old daddy a kiss, you know what I mean? Because I just wanted that lap time. I needed her to crawl up in her daddy's arms and hug me and smooch me because I'm crazy about my kids. And that's the kind of access they know they have. And family, that's the kind of access we have to a Father who loves us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son so that we could crawl up in his lap, so that we could enjoy this right relationship with a God who loves us. But I want you to notice something. Just as I'm not the father to all of your kids, but only to mine, God is only the father to those who have made his son Jesus their savior. So not everybody has this kind of crawl in the lap access to God. right? Only those who trust in Christ and have received the forgiveness of their sins. That's who have this kind of access to the God of the universe who loves them. In fact, that's why we pray in Jesus' name, because he's the one who has afforded us this right to pray. And so I would just say this, thinking of God as Father, I know some of you have a very fractured relationship with an earthly father. And as a result, you carry a wound and a hurt because your dad hurt you. Maybe he is hurting you, and there is just some type of a damage that exists, pain that is present because of an unhealthy relationship between your earthly father and you. But I would want you to know everything that is missing in your earthly dad will be found in abundance, perfect abundance, in your heavenly Father through Christ Jesus. And that's why it's appropriate for us to pray this way. The second thing Jesus says is, our God, the Father who is in heaven. And this is important for us because this is not a statement of location. You with me? This is a declaration of position. Like, the location of God is everywhere all the time. That's what it means to be omnipresent. His nature is he's omnipresent. God is everywhere. He's everywhere all the time. If he was not everywhere, but only a few places here or there, then he would not be God. But he's God. And so this is not a statement of location. This family is a declaration of position. So he is saying, my Father, who is over and above, who is ruling, who is reigning, who is in charge of all things at all times. That family is who you and I have crawl in the lap access to. You with me? Like, we get crawl in the lap access to the God who is in control of everything all the time. Our Father who is in heaven. Not here's your location, but here's who you are. Here's your statement of position. He has no rival. He has no equal. He rules and reigns over all things all the time. And so Jesus says that's how we address God. And then here's what we say to him. He continues, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Again, I mentioned a moment ago that when he references God as Father, he's not in any way diminishing the reverence assigned to him as God. Right? And we know that because the next thing he says is hallowed. If you mark or underline it in your Bibles, get that word hallowed, because the word actually means to be set apart. If it has any familiarity to you, in the New Testament, when Jesus prays for his church, when Jesus prays for us in John chapter 17, this is the high priestly prayer of Christ. Here's what Jesus says, speaking about his disciples and the provision of God for them and for us. He says, starting in verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So sanctify them. There's the word. In the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. As for their sake, I consecrate myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus asked God to set apart, to purify, to make holy his disciples. And in the like manner, using the same word, he says God's name is also to be seen as set apart. It is to be seen as holy. It is to be seen as pure. Now, we know names mean something. And so when Jesus says, hallowed be your name, he means that the name representing the nature of God is something that is to be set apart. It is to be revered. It is to be seen as pure. It is to be understood as holy. Why? Because God is holy. Because God is pure. Because God himself is totally set apart. He is entirely righteous and just. And this then is how his name should be known. And yet, how many times have we messed this one up? One of the most popular phrases in text messaging is OMG. You with me? That's not hallowing God's name. How many times when we're shocked or we've been caught off guard will we say, oh my God? That's not hallowing his name. This is a dad you have crawl in the lap access to, but he is holy. He is pure. He is righteous. He is set apart. He is altogether different from you and me, and he ought to be seen and revered as such. Hallowed be your name. And so I would say this, any use of God's name that has any common, negative, or natural connotation to it is an offense to his holy, perfect, and divine character, because God's name is to be hallowed. And so for some of you, OMG is just default language for you. And I'm not judging you. I'm telling you, at times, I'm one of you. But God's name is to be hallowed. This Father who is in heaven, his name should be hallowed because he should be revered. And so maybe a New Year's resolution for us should be that we're not going to take his name in vain. Anybody willing to think through that for the 2022? Like, we're going to be a people of prayer with the practice of prayer, emphasizing that which Jesus did. And maybe what we're going to say is, this year I'm just not going to say that. I'm not going to text that. I'm not going to talk like, I'm just going to hallow his name. I'm going to do my very best. And when I don't, and by the way, we're going to fail, then I'm going to say, I'm sorry to God. I'm going to confess it because I don't want to do it anymore. And I'm going to go right back to trying to hallow his name. Right? This is what we're going to do, because this is what it means to see God as Jesus has shown him to be. The prayer continues. Jesus says this in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says we pray for God's kingdom and God's will. Well, the kingdom of God, if you didn't know this, sometimes the scriptures reference this as the kingdom of heaven. Well, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is simply understood as God's rule and reign over all. It's God's rule and reign in all. It's God's rule and reign through all. This is God in charge of everything. That's what it means to understand the kingdom of God. And what Jesus says is, in our prayer for God's kingdom to come, is this is something that we have experienced already. We are experiencing right now, and we will ultimately experience one day. I'll explain. When God initiated creation, his kingdom came. We got to see God's kingdom come on earth. When he initiated creation, God inaugurated the coming of his kingdom on earth. This is what it looked like for the kingdom of heaven. But if you remember the life and ministry of Jesus, the very first message that was preached about the person of Christ by John the Baptist, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And so we got to see most clearly the kingdom of God inaugurated in the person of Jesus Christ. And we get to see it even now, every time we share the gospel and someone responds to that kingdom in faith like Cain did. Every time someone responds in faith and is saved, that is the kingdom of God right now. But ultimately, when the second advent of Christ comes and he returns and he reconciles all that is wrong and he punishes Satan and his followers and he makes all things new, we will see the full consummation of the kingdom of God. It is the already and the not yet. And this is what Jesus says we pray for. And here's why it matters so much. Because Jesus says that when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are immediately fulfilling the next two things associated with it, which is God's will done on earth as it already is and has always been in heaven. So we get to pray and ask God's kingdom to do here what it has always done there. Jonathan Pennington says this, "The heart of this prayer, and consequently the heart of all prayer, is to install and enact the kingdom of Christ on earth as it is in heaven." And praying for God's kingdom to come helps to ensure that our fallen will aligns with God's perfect will. Because I want to tell you, we are messed up. And the last thing we should want is for our will to be done. Right? Because we want God's will. Because God is perfect. We already said that. That's why we hallow his name. right? That's why we hallow God's name, because he's perfect. He's set apart. He's just. He's righteous. And so we're asking for what heaven has always known to earth, for earth to finally receive. That what's happening in perfection in eternity would happen in perfection right now. And this is what Jesus means for his people to pray. So we ask for God's will to be done without rebellion, as it has been in heaven, but to happen without rebellion now here on earth. God's will cannot be thwarted. The difference between heaven and earth is simply our submission to it. And so when we pray and we ask for God's will to be done, we say something like, I surrender my will. Like, I'm asking God for, because I believe that your name is to be hallowed. I believe you are set apart. I know that you are the God of the universe who is to be revered. And yet, you seem to also be the dad who's given me some crawl in the lap access to you. And so because without reservation, I'm going to crawl up in your lap, I'm going to ask, because I know that you are my Father in heaven and your name should be hallowed, that it be your will done and not my own. Because my will is tainted by my sin. My will is messed up because I am. And so I'm going to ask that your will would be done on earth as it has always been in heaven. I want to submit and surrender. Listen, who wouldn't want that? Who doesn't want that perfect will of God? And so I'm going to give you just four practical thoughts here, because I really want us to consider what it would look like to be marked as a people of prayer in 2022. Based on verses 9 and 10 of the Lord's Prayer, here's the four things I want to encourage you to pray. Number one, pray aware that God is both your Father and your King. Look up here at me. In the lap, and he's on the throne. You with me? You get in the lap access to the King who is on the throne. Now think about that. That's what Jesus has provided for us. The veil is torn, top to bottom. We have access to God. So we pray with an awareness that he is both our Father in heaven and the King over all. Second thing, we pray aiming for God's glory above all else. This is why we say, hallowed be your name. Because he is entirely different, completely set apart. He is perfect. He is just. He is right. And so some of us are going to commit. We're done with OMG. We're done with that. We're done. I'm not going to use the Lord's name in vain anymore. Why? Because it should be hallowed. It should be seen as something that is altogether different from me. So we pray aiming for God's glory above everything else. Number three, we pray asking for his kingdom to come. Not any lesser version of our own. We pray asking for God's kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Now, here's how I want to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Would you make my will come? Would you make my kingdom done as I have dreamt it up in my mind and I think everything should be? But that's not what we should be. We should be asking for God's kingdom, for his will, because it's perfect. Why? Because he is. That's why his name is hallowed as such. So not any lesser version of our own. We pray for God's, asking his kingdom and his will to be done. And then number four, we pray aligning our fallen will with God's perfect one. On earth, in the Bales family, at Prestonwood Baptist Church, as it is in heaven. So we pray aligning our fallen will with God's perfect one. Aware that he's Father and King, aiming for his glory, asking for his kingdom, and aligning our will with His. This is what it might look like for you and I to take seriously the practice of prayer in 2022. And so, what I thought we might do today is we might try it. That's what I thought. I thought we might try it. And so here's the invitation today. If you are not in right relationship with God, then you have never gained access through the conduit that He has sent for you. And His name is Jesus. And if you are a sinner and you confess your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior, the Bible says you can have eternal relationship with God. Your sins can be forgiven and you will have life with Him forever. And that's where prayer for you must begin, is you must pray and ask God to save you. But for the rest of us, if the practice of prayer has been a discipline on the shelf instead of a daily part of our life, then I want to invite you to practice that right now. And so some of you may want to take a knee at your seats. Others of you may want to come and take advantage of the kneelers at the front of this room. Some of you may want to grab the hand of a family member and just huddle up and pray, or maybe you want to trust one of our ministers who will be at the front of all of these aisles to pray with you or for you about whatever it is that you need. But we are praying with an awareness that He's Father and King, and we are aiming for God's glory because His name is to be hallowed. And we are asking for God's kingdom to come and aligning our will with His. You with me? And this is what it would look like for you and I to take seriously the practice of prayer. And so, as Nike said, we're going to do it right now. I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, this is the invitation. And every person here is invited to respond in prayer. And we'll take as long as we need to pray as much as we can and ask God to do that which only He can do. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for being a God who is both Father and King. So we have access in the lap, and we know You're the King on the throne. And Lord, we do hallow Your name. I ask for forgiveness for the times when we have taken it in vain, and when we have diminished and minimized the significance of who You are. Father, we are asking for Your kingdom to come. Right here, right now, on earth as it is in heaven. And we are aligning our imperfect will with Your perfect one. And so I pray for Prestonwood Baptist Church and for every family represented in this room, God, that You would move in the hearts of Your people and we would be a people marked by prayer. Thank You for making a way so that we could. We ask this in faith, in the name above every name, in Jesus' name, amen.